to praise. Keep singing, I love to praise His holy name.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Evans, for leading us in psalms and hymns, the spiritual song. He's certainly a jewel, isn't he? Amen. We're thankful we have found Jesus and know that He's able. He's a good God. You should sing hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22 tonight. It's been a long day. Amen. A lot of classes today, and now we end the day with a study from God's Word, and we'll go home. If you visit with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored guest. We did have a baptism on this morning, and we pray she's in the audience tonight. A man which had not on a wedding garment. This is the parable of the king's son. This parable is found in Matthew chapter 22. And so we'll be going there. And verse number 1 is where we'll start. Jesus answered
and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son.
Now, the dim in this verse, let's go back to Mark chapter 12, where we left off on this morning. The same parable was over there, the parable that we studied with this morning about the certain man. And verse number, at that time, the parable we read this morning was right before this parable, and the Pharisees and scribes were there. He was dealing with the question of authority. Now, in this one, notice in verse 12, Mark 12, what happened.
And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people.
The chief priests and elders and scribes wanted to get him for what he did this morning. They feared who?
The people.
What they do. And?
For they knew that he had spoken the parable against them.
Yeah.
And they left him
they
and
did
went
what?
Their way.
They what? So the Pharisees are gone. The Jews, the leaders are gone. And so there's a multitude of people there. But they have left him because he just called them out in that last parable this morning. How many of y'all was here this morning? Say amen. So you know what I'm talking about. So the certain man parable he dealt with, them guys got the scene. So there's a multitude of people still listening to Jesus here in this text. This time he tells them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a what? A marriage.
For
who?
For his son.
For his son. So the kingdom of heaven, we've been studying prayer. We know now that the kingdom of heaven is what? The church. So we got that part. The certain king in this parable, like the certain man in the parable this morning, represents God the Father. Now, the certain king has a son. We know who that is, don't we? It's Jesus. So the son is Jesus the Christ. And so God the Father had made a marriage for who? His son. Okay, in verse number 3,
he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding.
So the father sends his servants to tell them folk to come to what? The wedding. But notice what he says.
And they would not
They come. Wouldn't come. The servant wouldn't come to the wedding. So here is the king, being God the Father, sends his servants to invite people to his son's wedding. But they would not come. Now, this is anytime a king sent out an invitation, it's a special invitation. And they did not honor the king's desire. Again,
he sent forth.
He tries again,
saying,
Tell them
which are bidden.
Which ones I told to come?
Behold,
look, let me entice
my
you.
Dinner.
I have prepared a dinner for you.
My oxen. And
my fatlings are killed.
And all things are ready.
And everything's ready.
Come unto the marriage.
Come to the marriage. He's still bidding them to come. He said, I got it. It's ready now. The time is closer for the date of the marriage. I'm ready. The dinner's ready. The oxen, the fat calves have been killed. And the king said, everything's ready. I still want y'all to come. Now, you need to know something in short. I don't have time to deal with all of it. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3. Need to know this about the king, about God the Father. The first ones invited to the wedding were the Jewish people or Israel. This was called the limited commission. They were the first one called. before the Great Commission was given, God the Father was the husband to Israel, and Israel was the Father's wife. In Jeremiah chapter 3, and the verses number 14. Now, this is a little meat here, but you got to get this, because this is important to know that it's already been a divorce.
Turn.
He says, turn, O backsliding and children,
saith the Lord.
Said the Lord, for I am married to you.
And I will take you.
And I will take you
of a city.
This is before Jesus comes on the scene.
Of a family.
This is a father being married to Israel. Drop down to verse number 20.
Surely, as a wife treacherously,
departed from her husband,
so have you done. Treacherously
with me, O house of Israel.
Saith the Lord.
Who's his wife? The house of Israel. The Israelites. The chosen people. But God divorces Israel. Go back to verse 8 of chapter 3.
And I saw. When for all the causes whereby
backsliding Israel
committed
did what?
Adultery.
Committed what?
Adultery.
The only grounds for a divorce today is adultery. God divorced Israel before spiritual adultery. He said, I have put her away. Notice this. He give her a bill of divorce. Is that in your Bible? So now we see God the Father has divorced Israel. And now he said, there's a wedding. It's going to be of my son. Y'all see the picture? His son will now marry a wife, which will be the church. And if what you see today, starting in Rome in 606 AD, was spiritual adultery taking place called denominationalism. Because he only had one wife, but because Boniface III started the Roman Catholic Church, she became the mother of harlots, and all of her children are denominational churches. The Lord has but one wife, and that wife today is a church. Let's go to John the Baptist now. In John chapter 3 and verse number 28 to set the stage for this. And this is why I take a firm stand on preaching the church, preaching the wife of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom who's going to take the bride back to the house, to the wedding. Notice what he says in John 3:28.
Ye yourselves bear me witness.
Bear me witness.
That I said, I am not the Christ.
John the Baptist said, I am not the Christ.
But that I am sent.
But I am sent before him.
Before him.
He that had the bride is the bridegroom. The bridegroom.
But notice this,
John the Baptist didn't start no church. John was a friend of Jesus. He was a friend of the bridegroom. There never was a Baptist church in the Bible. John the Baptist was just a friend of the bridegroom. The bride would have a wife. John didn't start no church. He said, I'm a friend of the bridegroom.
Which standeth and hearing him,
rejoicing greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. John said, this is my joy.
Therefore
fulfilled.
He must increase.
He must increase. Talking about the bridegroom, and I must decrease. Talking about John. John was just a forerunner telling him, here he come. The church becomes his bride. Go to Ephesians 5:23.
For the husband.
The husband is the head of the wife,
even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is
the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to who?
Christ.
So let the wives be to your own husbands
in
everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for you. Then when you got a husband that'll love you and die for you, you don't mind submitting to him.
Amen.
That's the kind of man of God, that a husband that God wants. You love your wife like Christ loved his church. So what's the significance of that? Drop down to verse number 30 for time's sake. 32. He said 32. He says,
"This is a great mystery."
John Paul said, "This is a great mystery."
But I speak concerning
Christ
and the church.
But what I'm talking about in the verse before, I'm talking about Christ
and the church.
And the church. So Christ is the husband, and the church is his wife. Here's how it happens. In short, the bride was brought to the home of the bridegroom under that culture before the wedding. He was brought, and they invited guests to come to the wedding. Now, the first ones invited to the wedding, now that we know God is the king, Jesus is the son, the church is going to be his wife, God the Father has invited everybody to the wedding. Y'all got it? Okay, now, the first ones invited was Israel, because they had had a divorce. Israel going to come into a one body, which would be one wife, which would be the church. But she could not do it without Jesus' death. The second ones invited, called the Great Commission, would be Jews and Gentiles, all invited to the wedding. Everybody, is that making sense? So the bridegroom, Christ, is gone. But he's going to come back, get his bride, and take her to the Father's house. Y'all with me? Okay. Now, let's go back to the parable if we got this piece. Let's go back, start at verse 1 again. Let's listen to it.
And
now
Jesus,
that we got that understanding.
And Jesus answered,
Jesus answered unto them
again by parables and said,
he said this,
the kingdom of heaven,
the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king. Who is that? The Father.
Which
who made
a marriage
for his
son.
Who is that? Jesus.
And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding.
Yeah.
And they would not come.
Who would not come? The first group that was called. Who was that? Israel. Then he said,
again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my
dinner.
Tell them
it's ready.
My oxen and my fatlings are killed.
Everything's ready. Remember, Jesus had died. Everything's ready.
Come unto the marriage.
Come to the marriage.
But they made light of it. And went their way.
They went their way. One to his farm.
Another to his
merchandise. Here they are, the Jews, making light of the invitation. No big deal. Still today, Jesus is calling people to the wedding. The invitation is still open. And there are people, you and I know, that are making this as if it's no big deal. Everything's been made ready. We don't see many people accepting the gospel invitation. Look at tonight's lesson. Listen to tonight's crowd versus this morning's crowd. Many called, few were chosen. Man, when you understand that this king has everything ready and he has bidden the people to come to the wedding, there will be a disgrace to the king if you don't accept the invitation. We know the gospel is the call.
Amen.
It's the call. We ring the message out that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. That's God's call. We're called by the gospel. There are no preachers preaching that God made an audible sound to them one night when they were laying in the bed and said, hey, I want you to go preach. God called every man, woman, boy, girl, the same way. It is by telling the story of his son. Everything's been made ready. It's ready. Then he says,
and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them.
The Jews, the remnants took his servants, treated them spitefully, slew them.
But when the
men of the servants, the prophets and men and women of God who stood, John the Baptist got his head cut off, beheaded him. Many of the apostles died, given the invitation. Many today, what God expects from us today, if given an invitation, if I have to die given an invitation, God expects me to give my life. That's mean giving, being faithful unto death. He said, but when the king
heard thereof, he was wroth.
That's the wrath to get out again. Remember this morning, I talked about you can be angry and sin not. But when you're angry, anger turned to wrath, you're in a vengeance mode. That's why God said, you can't seek vengeance. That's not for us to do. We are not to seek vengeance. We're not to retaliate. We're not to get them back. What God has said, you can be angry at them, but don't let it turn around, because you're going to seek vengeance. But vengeance belongs to me. I am the Lord. I'll recompense, said the Lord. So he's wroth. He's wroth. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those
murderers
and burned up the city. History says that this was the destruction of Rome, Roman Empire, and Roman armies inflicted punishment on the whole Jewish nation after they rejected Jesus. And we know Jesus told them, these stones that you see, they thought he was talking about the end of the world. He was talking about Roman soldiers are coming in and destruction of Jerusalem. But God was merciful back then. And he gave them chance after chance, didn't he? He did, Israel. And he's given us chance. He's given all of us chance. Amen. Yeah, people got a chance to be back tonight worship if they want to. They can put God first. God give them plenty of time, plenty of chances. Here we are. Many call, few are chosen. Notice this.
Then saith he to his servants.
He says,
the wedding is ready.
The wedding is ready.
But they which were bidden were not worthy.
All those children of Israel who rejected Christ, crucified him, said they're not worthy.
Go ye there.
Unless they were in the group that Peter preached to on the day of Pentecost. When he said, Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, when they heard what? The gospel, the invitation. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you. Prerequisite to forgiveness is repentance, no matter who we are. Tall, small, short or tall, rich or poor. We all must repent. And Israel had to repent of their spiritual adultery. This applies to us as Gentiles. If we believe it, then we must be baptized. There's no option to go to this wedding. You got to have the right garments on. To go to this king's wedding, you got to answer the invitation as given by the king. And that's what's wrong with denominationalism. And people are teaching doctrines other than what Christ has said. There's only one invitation, and you must abide by that invitation. Amen. That's why we must hold up to the doctrine of Christ and continue to preach baptism for the remission of sins. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we got to keep preaching it. There's only one invitation. God the Father of the sent the Son. In 2 John verse 9, the Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. That's the Father, that's the King. He that abided in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. You can't go to the Father's wedding, to the wedding at the Father's house, if you didn't follow what the Son told you to do in the invitation. The servants are preaching it. That's the preachers. Invitation. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When you know the truth and you're in the church, you appreciate these parables. There's no other invitation to answer. Amen. Then he says,
Go ye therefore
in the highways.
To the highways. And as
many as you have
find,
bid
to the marriage.
In the highways, it's open to all now. Go everywhere. First he sent them to the exclusive group. Then he said, go back into the highways. It's open to all. Y'all remember when he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What was he doing? He was opening up the highways to salvation. It will come through the preaching of the King's Son. Amen, somebody. And so those servants
went out into the highways and
gathered together all
as
many as
they
could
find.
Notice this, bad and good, Jew and Gentile, bond of free.
And
everybody's invited to the wedding.
Was furnished with guests
of all kinds. This is now the Great Commission given. The Great Commission, limited commission, was to the Jews. Amen. But there is another group called the Gentiles. He's opening it up for Jew and Gentile to come to the wedding. And Jesus died for all of them. Here I stand today in Houston preaching this same invitation. This invitation should be ringing throughout the world in churches of Christ, where men are standing as God's servants, preaching and inviting folk to the wedding. That's what we should be doing. That's why we should never get away from gospel preaching. Because that's the invitation, exclusive invitation, given us by the God the Father, the King, who so loved the world that he gave his Son. God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, his Son died so we can go to the wedding. That's why he died. We dare not stop preaching the fundamentals and first principles of the gospel. We dare not leave the death, burial, and resurrection out of our gospel message. We dare not leave baptism out. We dare not get to the point that we're so concerned about our own growth, we forget the invitation is to the world. Making statements like, I'm not being fed. The gospel feeds us. The gospel is what feeds us. We are to feed on the King's invitation. That's what he wants told. Tell him. Go in the highways and byways and tell him I've made it ready. How did he make it ready? Well, over 2,000 years ago, on a hill far away stood a rugged cross. It was an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross hung the slain lamb. He was making ready for the wedding. That's why John the Baptist seen him coming. He said, behold the lamb. Why did they have to have a lamb? He was preparing for the wedding. Everything's ready. After he got up from the grave, after they killed the lamb, they put him in a grave, but he got up with power. And that's when he gave the charge to go give them the message that calls them to my Father's house. It's the wedding. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. Highways of Houston, the highways of this world, every church of Christ must preach the gospel. Amen. This is something we must hold to, because the bridegroom is coming back one day. He's coming back to take the bride home. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians 15, 24, listen to him now. He says what? 1 Corinthians 15, 24.
Then cometh the end.
Then in the end.
When he shall have delivered up the kingdom.
When he could deliver up the kingdom back to the Father.
Even the Father, when he shall have put down.
That's when the invitation is over. When he put down all rule.
And all authority.
And all
and
authority.
Power.
Right now, the command and the commission is to go teach all nations, baptizing them. Mark 20, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark 16, 15 through 20. That's the invitation that must be given. We dare not leave it. We dare not forget it. We dare not get sidetracked on the mission of the church. It is to save souls. Closing. Verse 11, when the king came in
to see the guests,
he
saw there a man.
He saw there was a man.
Had not on a wedding garment.
Which, notice, underline not. He had not on a wedding garment.
And he saith unto him,
everyone,
friend,
hold up, everyone invited to the wedding must have garments on. They must be clothed in wedding garments. And this is where I get my title from. There was a man which had not a wedding garment. God the Father saw the one man who among the guests that did not have a wedding garment on. Out of all the guests there, he spotted that one. He said that there, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment.
And he saith unto
this
him,
means nobody will get away. At the wedding, no one will be exempt. Everyone going to this wedding must have on wedding garments. If not, there is a penalty. He said unto him,
Friend, how
you remember when
thou?
Jesus, when Judas kissed Jesus? You know what he called it? Friend. And he was betraying them to death.
And in this case, he said to him,
Friend, how camest thou?
How did you come here?
Not having a
without your garment on.
And he was speechless.
And the man had no excuse. In other words, those of us who miss heaven, we won't have a good excuse. It won't be no talking back to God. It won't be no negotiations. It won't be, Lord, I didn't think I needed it. Lord, I tried it on and it didn't fit. God, on the day of judgment, we won't be asking us for answers. He'll be giving us a judgment on why we didn't do it. He will be speechless. We will be speechless. This man was questioned by the king. And the man didn't get to question the king. Notice this. Let's remember this. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will give an account, not for my wife. I won't give account for Sharon. I will not give account for my mother or my father or my children. It's best that I got my wedding garment on when I go to the king's house. Some of us need to understand that we don't fight this fight to win the soul of our wife, our husbands. We fight this fight to win our soul. This man, like many people today, had no good excuse. And y'all know those of us in the church that have found the truth, know the truth, bleed the truth. We got no excuse. Look at this. Question becomes, what is the wedding garment that I got to wear? Go to Revelation 19 now. And verse 7. And see what wedding garment I got to have on. He says, let us be glad.
And rejoice.
And rejoice.
And give honor to him.
Give honor to him.
For the marriage of the Lamb has come.
Who's getting married? The Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb is come.
And his wife.
His wife.
Hath made herself ready.
Has made herself ready.
And to her was granted that she should,
she should be arrayed in fine linen. In fine linen.
Clean. And white.
And white.
For the fine linen.
For the fine linen.
Is the righteousness, of saints.
Of the saints. So the saints make up the wife. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called.
Unto the marriage
supper of the Lamb.
And he said,
these are the true sayings of God. The garment is called a robe of righteousness. This robe must be clean. This robe must be white. This robe is worn by the wife. The church of Christ is the wife of Christ, and everyone in the church must have a white robe on. Turn to Revelation 7 now. And verse number 9 is watch all nations come into the picture.
After this,
John said, I beheld.
And lo, a great multitude. Which no man can number. Of all nations.
Here is the great commission. Not just the one nation anymore. It's to all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues.
Stood before the throne.
And before the Lamb.
Clothed with white robes. And palms in their hands. And cried with a loud voice. Salvation to our God which sat upon the throne.
And unto the Lamb. Who's going to get married? It's going to be the Lamb. Whose wedding is it going to be? It will be the Lamb's wedding. Where is the wedding going to be at? To our God. It's going to be in the house of the King, who is God the Father. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen.
Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
And one of the elders answered,
saying unto me, what are
saying,
these
John,
which are arrayed in white robes?
John, who are these folk?
And whence came
they? That arrayed in white robes. And where did they come from?
And I said unto them,
sir, thou knowest. You know.
And he said,
he said,
These are they these which came out they. Of the great tribulation.
Notice this.
And have washed.
Those who are coming out of what?
The great tribulation.
Those with white robes on came out of great tribulation, which said those of us who are in the church, who have the white robes on, we can't expect to live this life and go to the wedding if we ain't been through no tribulations. It came out of great tribulation.
And have
washed their robes and made them white
in the blood of the Lamb.
There they are. As those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Or you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Those are the ones who will be there. Go to Isaiah now, chapter 61 and verse 10. As I close this lesson, hopefully you got it. In Isaiah 61 and verse 10, he said, I would greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he had clothed me
with the garments, of salvation.
There you go.
He hath covered me.
What about the guy who didn't have his garment on? There was no salvation. See, brother and sister, look. The best thing we can do is obey the invitation. And when we obey the invitation, remember, you're going to have some trials and tribulation in this life. But as long as we walk in the light as he's in the light, we can keep our robes white. We confess when we need to. We just do what he said do. The invitation has been given. There's a robe of righteousness. He covered me with the robe of righteousness.
As a bridegroom
decked herself
with ornaments. And as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
When do our initial cleansing take place? When we're baptized. When we're baptized, we have the initial cleansing of the Lamb by the Lamb's blood. It cleanses our sins, brings us into a relationship with Christ as the bride of Christ. That's how we become members of the Lord's church. In Revelation 1:5, we're washed in his blood. When we're baptized in Acts 22:16, he said, arise, why tarriest thou? Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. How can you call on the name of the Lord? Because you got your garments on. You got your wedding clothes on. What happens after baptism? I live faithful. I walk in the light. And in that light, 1 John 1:7, we continue to cleanse us as long as we stay with God and we do his will. We'll make it to the wedding. Y'all want to go to the wedding? Amen. Why would we miss this wedding? Number one, by not accepting the invitation. Number two, by not accepting the terms of the invitation. Number three, act like the invitation is no big deal. So I live like I want to live. Can't do that. You got to accept the invitation, be baptized, and you must live according to the rules in order to go to that king's house. There are commandments that we must keep. That's why we must live faithful unto death, that we may get a crown of life. That's why it's important. Not only do we know what to do, but we learn to live it and keep our eye on the cross. If we keep our eye on the cross, we'll keep our eye on the one who set the example. And as long as we focus on him, he'll give us a good example. That's the ultimate example. Because he's the Lamb. He's the bridegroom. And he's coming to get his wife. He gonna take her back home. He gonna take her to the Father's house. And I want to say in closing, I want you to look at this verse. In Revelation 21, I want you to listen to this. John said, I saw
a new heaven,
the holy city. Chapter 2, verse 21:2. John saw
the holy city.
The holy city.
New Jerusalem.
The New Jerusalem.
Coming down from
God
out of heaven.
Down from God out of heaven.
Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
And I heard a great,
voice
out of heaven,
saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.
And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people.
And God himself shall be with them and be their God.
This is those who make it to the wedding. The bride that he saw coming down was the church. Remember when dead and Christ going to rise first and they're going to get caught up in the clouds? That's that New Jerusalem. That's the church of the firstborn. That's them. That's the church of Christ. That's what he's talking about right there. Drop down in verse number 4, he said, and God
shall wipe
they
away.
Are back at the Father's house.
All tears.
Here's the wedding.
From
they
eyes.
Shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
And
there shall be no more death,
sorrow,
crying,
nor crying,
neither
shall
there be
any more pain. For the former things are passed away.
Passed away. For time's sake, drop down to verse 9. And it came unto me saying,
one of the seven angels,
which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues,
talked with me.
He said,
saying,
Come hither.
I will show thee the bride.
I want to show you the bride.
The Lamb's wife.
That's the church. That's who we're going to wipe away tears from. You want to be in that number. You know how we sing that song, oh, when the saints go marching home? Lord, I want to be in that number. Church, do we have to stay in the Church of Christ or not? It's clear. It's clear. There's no options to be nowhere else. If we go back and close in Matthew 22, the last two verses, the penalty that comes with this, if we don't have our robes on, which means not only will we baptize and we believe, we live accordingly with the gospel giving us that reason, that love story keeps us living according to God's will. He says, and then said the king
to the servants,
bind him hand and foot,
take him away, and cast him into outer darkness.
Who is this he talking about? The one dude didn't have his wedding garment on. There shall be weeping.
And gnashing of teeth.
Many were called.
But few are chosen.
I wonder how many in this audience are going to make it. You ever thought about that? It's always the few among the many. You know that, right? But brothers and sisters, first of all, if we don't get baptized, we're not going to make it. If we don't repent when we need to repent, we're not going to make it. If we don't confess when we have to confess, our robe's going to get dirty. You can't go to this man's house with a dirty robe on. Amen? So for those who are here, not members of the church, I've talked about the gospel all through this sermon, that whole story about how God loved you and gave his son for you, should bring you to him, should make you want to come to the God because he loved you that much and his son loved you. He gave his life. They buried him and he resurrected. That's the whole good news story called the gospel. Number one, you must hear it. Number two, you must believe it. These are terms and conditions to go to this wedding. Third, you got to repent. Fourth, you got to confess who he is, that he was the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, you must do that before men. Romans 10:9-10, you must confess with your mouth, but your heart's been made to believe that he is the Jesus Christ, the Son of God. After that, you must be baptized. That's the first cleansing with the blood that gets the robes white. After you've been cleansed, you're in the church, you must live faithful in order, faithful to the commands, faithful to living the life, faithful to God, with everything focused on the cross. Never lose focus of the cross, because that's always the invitation to the non-member. It's the invitation to the members of the church. It's the invitation to the prodigal. It's the invitation to the lost sheep, the lost prodigal, the lost coin. Everybody is called back to God through that gospel message. Amen. Why? Why? That's what the king said. Bid them to come. And that's what we must keep doing. Amen. But remember this, many are called.
But few are chosen.
Few are chosen. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 7:13? In the end of the straight gate, wide is the gate, broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many will go that way. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way to lead to life, and few there be defined in. Somebody said, Brother Brooks, I want to get close to the Lord. You know how you are. Everybody know themselves. Just as you are, you come tonight. If you want to be baptized, you come. The water is ready. Clothes are ready. We'll make sure you get your robe cleansed. We'll do our part. God will do his part in baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Members of the church, if you need prayer, if you want to come back to confess, you know what you need to do. Confess, repent, come back to the Lord. Or if you just need prayer to stay on the battlefield. The good thing about being in the church is that there are righteous people who can pray for you. Amen. Amen. In the eyes of the Lord, over who? The righteous. And his ears are open to the righteous cry. And they have their robe of righteousness on. Will you be that man or woman who will show up without your wedding garment? What if you die tonight? Is it spotty? Is it dirty? Would you stand out among the crowd? And God said, there's one you have not on your wedding garment. Thanks be to God that every time we walk through these doors, there's another chance to come before God's people and ask for prayers. Amen? We want to do that tonight. Just as I am in the song of selection. Come on, Brother Evans. If you want to come, whether you want to be baptized, you want to ask for prayers, or you want to make a confession, we want to come and together we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Tonight is a good night to come. Clean up your garment. Why not tonight? Shed for me. Thou biddest me come. O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb of God, I come. Come to him tonight. I come. I come. You have your wedding garment on. Is it clean? Is it?